I'm Jan Quello, Quello, and I came here the first time in 1963, and so I have more stories than you want to hear, and so I've just decided on a couple that might be a little more unique. The first time we came, I came with my husband, and well, except we weren't married, and we did not. We're not interested in each other at all. I had just completed my freshman year at Concordia College in Moorhead, Minnesota, and he called me about 3 days before this trip was going to happen. There were four interns from Luther Seminary that were taking their youth groups out to Holden, and they had two women that were going to be the counselors for the girls, and then the four interns. Well, one of the women had a family emergency at the end, and he called me and said, "Can you go? You know, I gotta have a woman on this deal," because we were friends. And I said, "Sure, I'll do that." And so I was like 3 months older than some of the kids, but it worked out really well. We had 70 kids from four different congregations, as I said, and Carol Hinderly was coming out to become the first director at Holden. Now, his family had not been here yet, but he rode on this Greyhound bus. We had two Greyhound buses coming out, and we drove straight through because we wanted to have all the time at Holden. And being the first youth group, we were opening up the lodges. We opened two lodges, and the mice had taken up residency there, you know, over the years, and they were filthy, and we had nothing really to clean except soap and water. We used rags because they ripped some things up, and that's what we cleaned with. And it was a lot of work, but we also had some good times. I wanted to say that Reverend Fred Mai was one of those people, and I have to apologize. I should know this name. His wife, but they weren't married at the time, but I can tell you how to get to that, what her name is. They live in Green Bay, Wisconsin, or real close to that, and she is still an active pastor, I think. And so I think it would be easy to figure out, but she goes by a different name than mine. And the other two interns, I don't remember their names. We arrived, and we stopped on the way at the National deal with the presidents. I can't remember what.
Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore. Mm-hmm. And other than that, we just drove straight through. Mm-hmm. And Carol came, and it was a lot of fun because he was just exploring things too. And he got volleyball started after dinner every night. And that was fun. That was in my field. I love that. And the other thing is Joan Holt in the early years was from Concordia College and my physical education major teacher. And so she's been here many times, and she loved that volleyball too. But that's a name that you'd probably come up with different times. Anyway, when we were here, we did work hard at cleaning those up, but we also played. We went on some hikes, but one of the hikes that we took, now these are all Minnesota kids. They didn't know mountains at all. They had cheap tennis shoes, and so they had got a lot of blisters, but we took them to Holden Lake. And we used lots of things to get things up there. they used what's called a Duluth pack, and it wasn't very convenient. We brought sleeping bags, no tents, nothing else, just sleeping bags, and our food, because we were doing this overnight, we had, you know, they didn't have dried food like they have now, but we did have dried soup, and we had some dried eggs that, like the armed forces use, they taste terrible, but it kept them happy, you know. And we hiked up there, and at that time, where all the rock avalanches, that was a beautiful meadow with all kinds of flowers. So we stayed right there. Well, then an avalanche happened a few years later, and that isn't really a tenting place anymore. But Holden Lake is a special place to me. I just loved it. So when I was turning 50, my husband said, "What do you want to do for your 50th? And I said, "I'm going to go to Holden Lake." Now, this is a problem because I've had multiple sclerosis for many years, and I was at that point not walking real well, but better than I can do now. And so my husband, Bob, because Bob and I eventually did marry, and
I'm going to interrupt you because you told me before we started recording the story about Carol predicting, but we haven't got that on tape.
Okay.
So let's go back to that. Okay. And you tell that story, and then we'll go back to okay. your 50th
birthday. All right. When we were here, Carol Hinderly told my brother, who was Bob's roommate, that the two of us would get married someday. We were not interested in each other. He had his old girlfriend, and I had my own boyfriend, and we were not, it wasn't that kind of relationship. And later on, many years later, we ended up getting together. Well, we were good friends, and we shocked probably a lot of people. We had 3 dates, and we got married, you know, so.
Once you decided, you...
But we promised each other that we wouldn't tell that part of the story until our children were engaged, because we didn't want to set any precedents. So nobody knew that until after our son and daughter got married.
So now we've got that established. Let's go back to your 50th birthday.
Because I wasn't walking well, this was a problem. So I invited 22 people to go at my dinner/slumber party, because I would never be able to hike up to Holden and back in the same day, which we did many times. And so we told them that they had to bring their own sleeping bag and their own tent, and we would provide all the food, but they'd have to help carry it. Well, we took a frozen salmon here, and it was thawed out by the time we got there, you know, and had for dinner. And we had rice and a lettuce salad and a chocolate cake and lots of wine. When we were planning the trip, Leif Dahl, who was also eventually a board member and a good friend, he had said, "Well, I think you should bring a watermelon." And we said, "Oh, we're going to have so much weight, we can't bring a watermelon, you know, hiking." Well, he did. He brought a watermelon. And when he arrived, he didn't look so hot. He was pretty tired, because that's pretty heavy to add to your other things. And he had then said, "You know that watermelon? I ate it on the top switchback, you know." But he really didn't, you know. So we had watermelon with our meal as well, which was really fun. All of the people almost had graduated either from St. Olaf, Concordia, Augustana, Augsburg, and what's it?
PLU?
PLU, yeah, my kids graduated from there. And so at night, we just sat around the campfire and sang for a long time, and it was perfect at that point. We had a lovely evening, and then later we went to bed quite late, and it rained during the night. But fortunately, we were in tents this time. You know, 1963, we were not, and we didn't get rain, thankfully. And then we got up and we had eggs and bacon and we had watermelon that was left. And my brother-in-law, and I don't have a copy of this, and I should, gave an ode, Dr. Tom Lefebvre. And I think it's on tape someplace, but I haven't. He's pretty good at writing things, and he gave that, and they sang Happy Birthday to me, and it was just very delightful.
Mom, the tune was to St. Olaf Umyaya.
Yeah,
that's
true. It was to St. Olaf Umyaya.
Mm-hmm. He was an Ole.
Yeah, well,
I'm going to ask very slyly now, how many years ago was that, your 50th birthday?
Almost 20.
Mm. Okay.
You know, I'm 69, so I think here in the village at this time, well, except Warner left, I'm probably the oldest, you know, person that's been here, you know, the longest term person.
Mm-hmm.
There are Mary Rue is somebody who is my same age, same birthday as I have. I know that she was here before I was. She came with LBI because her father came up to see if they were LBI was going to accept this Holden as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And so their family came up then.
Mm-hmm.
And then she worked also on, what was it called, the first group that came in.
Mm-hmm. The Forerunners.
The Forerunners. She was part of the Forerunners.
Yeah.
So, but all these people that were here and doing so much work, I know them all, but they've all passed on. And
And by the way, I'm Quello, too.
Yeah.
Quello.
Yeah.
Cara Lee. Leigh. Not Cara. Cara. Kara.
Yeah. I think they got it.
I hope so. I just did it backwards. Quello Lee Cara.
Oh, no.
By the way, I think Roy Satry was here in 61. So I think he has you beat.
Okay.
By 2 years.
All right.
And I think he's the only one that I heard when Warner was talking.
Okay.
He referred to Roy as being here in 61.
Okay.
So, but that's the only one that I know of.
Yeah.
That has you beat.
Yeah.
And I think you have a couple up here that are equal. That he was talking about being here in 63 and people...
Well, Warner was, I know. And,
yeah.
And Warner and Bob and I tried to find Domke Lake on that first time we were here.
Oh.
And we spent several hours trying to find Domke Lake.
Well, there wasn't a good trail then.
Oh, it was all overgrown.
Yeah.
And we did not find it.
Huh. You know, I didn't know that story.
Yeah, so that eventually... They did, but we looked for a long time. Everything was overgrown.
Yeah.
You know, the mine, you know, building was still here, and we crawled around that.
I remember doing that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Being able to just go and crawl around the mine and crawl up the thing and go in the tailings and the tadpoles and having it all over me. And
you know, I think about that sometimes because you kids played in the tailings.
All the time.
A lot.
Yeah.
And then I hope this didn't hurt them, you know.
Especially Robert. Robert did even more than me.
Yeah. Well, look at the tadpoles. You know,
I know.
You know, one thing that Robert did as a kid that I made.
Robert's my older brother.
Yeah.
Older. Older brother.
2 years older. both my children have been here since before they were one.
Yeah.
So they've got long history of Holden.
I was 7 months old the first time I came.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
And I'm 42.
Yeah. They were trying to get rid of some of the chipmunks.
Yep.
And I think Al Swihart was the person that was ahead of the gardening at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he had cages. And he gave about four boys, about 9 or 10 year old type, these cages to catch chipmunks, which they did. And then they took them down to Lucerne. And then they looked back after a couple of days and they thought, boy, those look familiar. And so the next time they caught them, they put a dab of paint on them so that they could tell if they really came back or not. They practically beat them back.
Yeah,
they know a good thing where they, you know, and they've passed that generation.
I know.
On to other. I mean, chipmunks have
fattest ones you'll ever see.
Yeah, that's right. Their summer is really good.
I remember Robert catching frogs, and there was an old pool in the back of the chalets.
Yes.
That they are, I think it's all filled in now.
Yes.
For safety.
Yeah.
But Robert used to go take, Robert and Hal, I think.
Yeah.
Used to go and get buckets of frog, 5 gallon pickle buckets of frogs and go dump them out in the pool back there.
Yeah.
And they'd try and gross us out and throw them at us and stuff like that. And the other story I remember from your first visit that you told me, and I always tell it to other people to kind of gross them out a little bit, is how you told us about the mice. And you'd set up 40 traps, and you said that during the night, all night long, you'd hear whack, 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 over and over and over again of all of these mice traps going off.
You had to be careful when you put your shoes on, because
they'd be
there
in your
could
shoes.
Be a mouse in them. You know? So,
thank you for getting rid of them for us.
Yeah. Well, it's been a constant problem. They still work on it.
Yeah, but not 40 a night in one room.
Oh, well, you know, who knows how many. But the doors are heavy now to keep them out.
Yeah.
And they've done a very good job of getting them out. Things have improved a lot. There used to be three trees over by Cottage Chalet 1 on that road, and we planted those.
I know.
And they grew up, and now they're gone.
I know. Because didn't they have to cut them down for the fire hose house?
Yeah, no. They just...
Died.
Died. But they certainly were tall.
Yeah.
And I remember when the Ark, we had
the three trees. I spent so much time on those trees. Yeah. I was going to mention that. Did you guys plant those three trees?
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, where the Ark is, there used to be three
huge trees.
And they had built sort of a...
platform,
but it was attached so you could sit on it.
Yes.
But they would do coffee hour outside.
Yeah.
And they would put the coffee trays and the cups up on these platforms that were, it was a triangle.
Yeah, and the bell was hanging there.
Yes.
And
that's another good story.
All the kids loved to go ring that
bell. We would fight
They'd
over
sit
it.
Sit there and wait and wait and
fight
wait until
it.
Somebody would say, okay.
Well, because they used to only ring the bell for meals. I don't think they rang it for all the sessions.
Oh, they rang it for everything.
Oh, I don't. It seems like, and maybe it's because I'm old, but it seems like they rang it way more often now than they did then.
No, they didn't.
My favorite story about the bell, though, is one I should really let Robert tell, and that is when we used to sleep up here more than anywhere else, but they'd ring the bell at 7 for breakfast, and whenever we'd be in Lodge 3. The bell was so loud, and one morning Robert decided that he didn't want to be woken up at 7 in the morning by the bell, so the night before he went and stole the clapper. But then he wanted to see what would happen when the person rang the bell, so he got up anyway at 7 o'clock and watched the waitress come out and pull on the rope, and nothing happened. And she looked very confused. And she pulled on the rope again, and nothing happened. And he had the clapper sitting next to him there in his bed.
Yeah.
So he, of course, put it back. But
well, we took numerous youth groups.
Hikes.
On hikes, mm-hmm. in.
From and Trinity Lutheran.
No, most of them we took from Darrington.
No, no, but the groups were from...
Oh, from...
Trinity Lutheran Holden. I mean, Pullman, Washington, weren't they?
Oh, they were from Trinity in Vancouver, Edmonds, Christ and Luther in Tacoma.
Okay, in Tacoma, yeah, not Edmonds. We never did one from Edmonds.
Then in Pullman.
Yeah,
but it was
Pullman was most of them.
For many years, and lots of kids had a good time.
But we'd hike for a week.
And we took take a bag of candy, or a bag, plastic bag, and we put
gum
and raisins and hard candies, and the kids used that as barter amongst each other, you know. And I always felt like if you feed the teenagers, they're going to be happy, you know. Mm-hmm. So we usually ate pretty good. But later years, we used the dry food, and was that ever nice? You know.
Well, I remember people saying that they thought you were crazy to take a 3-year-old on a week-long hike in the High Cascades, and you said, well, Carl runs 50 miles a day anyway, we just point her in the right direction.
Well, actually, you went on the hike earlier than that.
Well, on Dad's backpack.
On his backpack. He would, she would sit on top of his pack and ride that way.
Yeah.
And that was fine.
That was like a year and a half, I think.
Yeah.
And then when I was 3 is the first time I hiked in.
Yeah, and Robert was 3 when he hiked in, too.
Yeah.
And it was an M&M around every corner, or maybe a raisin or Cheerio.
Lemon
or...
drop, I remember, was my favorite.
Yeah.
If I could have a lemon drop around the next corner, I'd keep going.
Yeah. But then we'd sit down and rest, and they'd be up running around.
Yeah.
You know, the energy.
They,
of...
you mean weed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you'd.
Well, both you and Robert, you know, because we took you on different hikes. The
last time I did that was 1986.
Okay.
And that's the last time Robert did it.
Okay.
And we took, and Dad, that was the first time Dad was not along. And Robert and I took a group from Pullman. And it was Wendy Franz and Benj Franz and Eldon Franz.
We don't want to name all the people.
There was only, that was it. And then Laura Lee, Kristen Dahl, Thor Dahl, myself, and Robert. Mm-hmm. And that was it. That was our whole group. And so Robert was basically the leader of the pack as a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the last time we hiked in.
Yeah.
Now,
well, you got lost too, didn't you?
I think we did at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got off the trail.
Yeah.
And we had to go down a dry riverbed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, did you come across the mountains that over Cloudy Pass.
We came over Cloudy Pass.
You came over Cloudy Pass. Okay. Well, the time that I remember, we had a group of 25 kids, and we were hiking from Darrington, and it rained the whole week.
Mm-hmm.
We were just sopped, and we were intending to stay out at the ballpark when we were here, because we'd hike for 5 days and then we'd take some side trips and then we would stay at Holden the last couple of days, but we'd stay out at the ballpark. Well, we were so wet and cold. Bob came in and said, is there any place that we can go?
And we slept on the stage.
That's right.
I remember that.
Because the place was full.
And we slept on the stage in the Village Center.
Yes.
I remember
And we
that.
Were very glad to have some place that was warm.
Yeah.
The other trip that I was thinking about is we were hiking over from Trinity and over Spider Glacier.
I love that one.
And one of the hikes wasn't with the church group. It was a family group.
Mm-hmm.
So it was my brother and his wife and their kids.
That's
And Tom's father-in-law, or Tom's father, mm-hmm. he was 69,
mm-hmm.
and Cara, you were 3.
Mm-hmm.
So it was
it was my first hiking one.
Yeah. And it was, and we got clampons for the kids because to hook to their climbing boots, because we're going on the glacier, it gets slippery. And we hiked up that, and then we decided, we took along plastic bags so that we could glissade down. And
well, Sharon and Mark and Robert and I all had rubber pants.
Yeah.
Because we have a picture of Robert and I in yellow and Sharon and Mark in green.
Okay.
And we're all on the glacier going down in our rubber pants.
Yeah. And you know, you get a little sore sometimes going down the few bumps.
Sure, it's fun though.
But it was great fun. You know, and we enjoyed it. And let's see, what else did we do?
Well, one of the other things I was thinking about, this leaps ahead quite a bit. I mean, we've had, I guess you could talk about all the ice cream scoops we've had and all the lifts we've done and all the sessions we've gone to.
Yeah.
But that's pretty typical holding stuff. But for me, the significant events for me have been your birthday that you already told about and my second daughter, Tova, being baptized here. When she was a few months old. And then the other one is Dad's ashes are buried or were scattered at 10 Mile Creek.
When I go to 10 Mile Creek, I am aware of many people that have their ashes spread there. And I just think about all the saints that are there.
Yeah. We had a very nice service with Dan Erlander, who was who has played a big part of Holden. And Leif Dahl, who was one of our good friends, and Dad were both scattered there together at 10 Mile Creek the year after he died. And that was when I was pregnant with Caden.
Well, the thing that with that one that was that I always think about and I still have, after we had the brief service with Dan, all of a sudden Carr jumps in the creek. I'm going, what's going on? You know, and she came out with a rock that it's a Holden hug.
Well, Nancy invented that.
Yeah.
Nancy Bottomiller, your sister-in-law, invented a hug rock. A rock with a white line going all the way around it.
I'm not sure she did that. But
she's
maybe
the first person I ever heard it from.
Yeah. But you've got to have that white line that goes all the way around. And up here, you find it. I found some in Germany. You don't find them everywhere.
No. But I found right where we had dumped the ashes.
Yeah.
I looked down, and in the creek was this wonderful, probably softball size hug rock. And I fished it out of the stream, and I gave it to Mom, and it's still on your bathroom counter.
That's right, it is.
And it's a good one.
Yeah.
It's not fun carrying it home.
We've just given a lot of stories here. That,
they're good stories.
Yeah. Well, everybody's got some good stories. You know, I'm trying to think of the different one. That's why I was thinking Carol Hinderly one and my 50th birthday. You know,
that was pretty fun.
Yeah. There's not many people that get a salmon dinner up
there. At Holden Lake?
No.
They don't.
I'm sure I'll never make Holden Lake again, but I was glad that I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see.
I know another story I can tell that is important to me anyway, that I met the love of my life's parents here when Dad and Chuck Anderson were on the board together. Mm-hmm. And 20 years later, Robert, my brother, and Carl were on the board together. Oh, how can we forget telling about the famous Quello parties in Narnia?
Oh, that's true.
How can we forget that?
Yeah.
So we have to digress now and tell about the Quello parties in Narnia.
Well, I met your husband, too. I knew, but I didn't really know him well at all. Because
at first, neither did I.
You know, you were... I was more in tune with the kids that were around your ages.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, he was, we have a picture of him getting off the boat with his oldest daughter, Bailey, when she was about 5, on your 50th birthday week.
Yeah.
And you're walking off the boat and smiling and making a goofy face, and he's walking right behind you. So
yeah.
He was up here then, and we didn't know him at all.
Yeah.
But I met Carl when Robert introduced me to him at one of our Narnia parties.
Narnia parties were pretty famous with some people.
With
a lot
some
of people,
people
don't know
about them.
But we wanted to be with groups and kind of enjoy the evening.
Have some wine.
And there was no place for a group to gather.
And talk.
Yeah, they did not keep the kitchen open, you know, for that. That was...
Well, even still, you don't have wine in the dining hall at night.
No, no. But there was just no place to go.
Yeah.
And so we would go down to Narnia, have our parties, and then clean it up, and then we'd probably do it one or two times a week, mm-hmm. you know. And we've been doing that for...
Ever.
Yeah.
As long as Dad's been on the board, was on the board,
then,
I think.
For a while, Narnia was really upset. You know, they tried to lock us out.
I remember.
And your dad broke the lock, and we went, or didn't break the lock, but
they got in.
We got in.
But we ended up having to get permission from the directors.
Oh, yeah, the directors were
there. The
directors
were there. But we had to get permission from the directors. And they of course, said, well, sure, you can do that as long as you clean up.
Yeah.
And I remember the directors were always invited, and they always came.
Yeah, not always, but, you know, sometimes they had something else to
do. No, I'm saying at least once all of the directors of the village have been to one
I think
of our
at
parties.
Least once they were
at one of our parties, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's where I met the love of my life, Carl Anderson.
Yeah.
Is at that. And we got married 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So we're a Holden couple.
Yeah. Something had flashed in my mind. Oh, I know. One year, our dog was a Norwegian elk.
Oh, Bjorn, yeah.
And he came with us a lot in the early years and go on the hikes. And I'd sewed a pouch that he carried his own food. You know, mm-hmm. We didn't want to carry it. And one year, we were up with Chris Larson and a bunch. The dog up at Lyman Lake got into something, a dead squirrel, or I don't know, but he was sick. He could hardly stand up. Well, you're not going to leave your family dog up there.
No.
So we had got two long branches and hung a sleeping bag on and put the dog. He was probably 70 pounds.
Yeah, he was a big boy.
Yeah, and carried him out. Well, the good thing is Leo Busted, head of the veterinary clinic in
WSU.
At WSU, we knew and was a member of our congregation. Well,
he happened to be here.
He was here and he took care of him. And a few days later, he was fine.
Yeah,
you know?
I remember that.
But you know, what do you do when somebody gets sick? You take care of it. But it was a long trip out. That way. The other thing, on all the hikes, we would tell the kids the snack bar closes at 4 and they would be here before 4 o'clock. They, you know, would walk a lot faster. It gave them a little bit of incentive to keep going. Because once in a while, some of the kids were, I can't walk anymore. I'm too tired. And, you know, you had to do a little encouraging, because some kids don't grow up in the woods like our kids did. So, you know, there just is a lot of differences in how people grow up. And
I just flashed on something and forgot it too. There's something about being here by 4. Oh, one of the funny things I remember about hiking, especially. When I was older, is how they used to introduce us as a group, and we'd all stand up at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, they'd say, this is the hiker group from, you know, Pullman or whatever, and we'd all stand up together. And I remember the last time we hiked in, they said, and this is the hiker group from Pullman. And we all stood up at the same time, and we all went, oh, as we stood up. And we all sort of groaned. Simultaneously, because after you stop moving, when you've been hiking for a week, you don't realize how sore you are until you stop.
Yeah.
And I remember how we all laughed at how funny that sounded when we all stood up together and groaned. So. Anyway.
Yeah.
Are we done?
Yeah, I think you've got more than enough stories.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Everybody's got stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well, and we had an audience the whole time here, too.
Yeah.
With Myra.
Yeah.
Who's her first time here? Myra Brand.
We've taken a lot of people in here the first time that have been significant. Ken Riggers, he was on the board, and Leif was on the board. And,
you know, well, Leif got some of the school buses up here.
Yes.
It's fun because you see on the certificates and the buses, you know, that it really, it says it's owned by Leif Dahl on there because somebody has to put their name on the requisition in order for it to get on the barge to get up here. And on most of the buses still, you'll still see a little plaque in the front that says something about, you know, requisitioned by Leif Dahl or something.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
You know, Bob would have numerous stories because of, you know.
Yeah, he would.
But I remember more than one summer when they're trying to replace a director, or the one year that they had to get a new director kind of real quickly, spending a lot of time on the phone trying to talk.
I know a story about Dad that I think would be a good story, and that is that he was the longest board member that Holden will ever have, because after he left, they changed the rules, and you can no longer be on the board for 23 years.
Well, each time, he was retiring many times.
I know,
and
they kept voting
him
back on.
Don't retire, we need that history.
Yes, and they wanted him to stay on, and so he stayed on for as long as he did. But I remember the first year that he finally wasn't on the board was one of his favorite years ever, because I remember he used to complain that when he was in board meetings, he couldn't go to sessions. And he loved being here when the board was meeting, because he would go to sessions, he would have his coffee, he'd read his book, and he'd sit on the ARC whenever he knew that the board was getting out. Because as soon as the board would get out, about five people would run up to him and go, "Say, Bob, what do you think about this?" And so he still got to contribute his thoughts and feelings, but he didn't have to sit through all the board meetings.
True.
And I remember him taking great delight in that,
yeah.
That he still felt like he was participating, but still could.
Well,
go to
another
sessions.
Thing I think about Bob is the board, you know, does crazy things sometimes.
Yeah.
And they were part of a game deal, and that one was sink the board, and they had this big deal of water, and he sat on a
plank and throw the ball at it and sink.
And he was dumped several times.
Mm-hmm. I remember throwing sponges at his face one time when the board had to sit and put their face in the board.
Oh, yeah.
And then I remember throwing sponges at his face.
Yeah.
He was not very happy about that.
Well, there were some that were better than others, but, you know,
what I wanted you to mention also is that you've had more birthdays at Holden Village than not.
Yes, that's right. And I always had a hot fudge sundae.
And what was the best happy birthday song you've ever had in your life?
Well, the best birthday was, I can't tell you the name.
I can't remember his name either.
Yeah, but he was a Baptist minister.
A Baptist minister.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
African-American gentleman.
Yeah, and he had a voice that was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And he did some scatting with it, and happy birthday, and we were all just stood in awe. And then Cara did some scatting against him, and it was I wish I had a tape of that. But there are a lot That's of funny. Things up here that just happen. People get their instruments out and just play, and they don't have to, it is not a part of concert or anything, they'll just show up, you know, and
The music up here is legendary. And it can be a group of people that met 3 hours ago.
Yeah.
And suddenly you'll have a band that sounds like they've been playing together for years.
Yes.
And they'll have a dance.
Yes.
And they'll know all the same songs.
Yeah.
Or they'll be, I've been a part of two groups of people over the years that we just got together and said, I know this song. Do you know this song? And we had a concert.
Yeah.
Both times. And just great. I mean, you'd think we'd been playing together for years.
Yeah, the music has been just outstanding.
Legendary. Just amazing. And I love how people just come together and contribute what they have. And that's one of the things I always tell people when I'm telling them about Holden, how great the music is and how diverse it is and how I love that.
Well, you never know. I've been coming for 50 years and no week has been the same. Yeah, it's always different. And now with the new construction, I think if I get here another time, I'll see a lot of changes. And I will be very glad the tailings are getting fixed. That has been a topic of discussion since the first time we came. And, you know, and it was, through the years, it's improved. They've learned to plant some things, the Jerusalem artichokes, and the but they've tried many things to get the wind down for that dust, because used to the first years it was like a storm, a dust storm,
mm-hmm. orange dust storm.
That's right.
In the village, I remember that you'd walk down the main street and there'd just be this orange cloud sort of dancing up and down.
Well, and your clothes would be orange.
Yep, covered with it. Yeah. I remember that too.
Exactly.
And your shoes were especially bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's come a long way, and I hope that it'll go for many years to come.
Another 50.
Yeah.
Here's to it.
Yeah, exactly. When Bob died...
In 1999.
Yeah. The kids and I gave a cart, and we had to struggle to get that cart.
We had to fight the administration.
So, because they were worried about all this, and so finally we just took it to the board and said, we want to do this, and...
They said they'd try it.
Yeah.
With one.
Yeah. And then they saw the value of it, and they got many more,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I'm sure they'll continue doing that because it's been a real asset here.
Well, and that's thanks to you, I'd say.
It's been a big help to me.
What you've done is you've opened it up to people who normally couldn't come.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be coming anymore.
Well, but I said it's thanks to you.
Yeah. So that's been good. I'm glad we are not living the way it was in 1963.
I am too.
Yeah.
The food is far better.
The food is
better. We made it through the lentil years, though.
Yes. Oh, we did. And
lentil loaf years in the 80s.
Yeah, that was a little grim.
Yeah.
Everybody lived on peanut butter. And,
You were talking about improvements since 1963.
Oh, vast improvements. Because I know what I was going to say. You know, the light had to be out at 10. You know, you didn't have...
electricity after 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it was beautiful in the sky because there are no lights around.
Yeah. Best stargazing ever.
Yeah. And so oftentimes, for many years, I would go down to the covered bridge and look at the lights because...
Except not on the covered bridge because it's covered so you can't
see.
In that area.
You know, on the bridge.
Right.
Because no lights and you could see all the stars. And there's millions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for allowing us to give the stories, and thank you for putting some things together, you know, some history. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a monumental task for you, I know. And thank you for doing that.